This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production.
We are K-Fabe, the People's Band. We are the only sports entertainment cover band. We are going to play favorite wrestling theme from the golden ages of the 1980s all the way up to today. All as many wrestling promotions that you love near and dear, from the NWA days, the WCW, the WWF, or of course you know the days of WWE, Ring of Honor, Japan, they got some things we will be playing, and there will be some songs that may not necessarily be things that wrestling theme songs, but they may have been songs that wrestlers have used in the past. Like, for example, the great Junkyard Dog, Hall of Famer, back in the day, in the early 80s, he would come out to a very popular song by the rock group Queen, Fight the Dust. That's just one example. And we are going to be playing everywhere we can. Birthday parties, property events, wrestling shows, Comic Cons, anime conventions, maybe do a few anime songs. You know,
from the biggest heavyweight title events for this man ever, Hulk Hogan, you gotta be ready.
Well, you know, I hope Pontiac Michigan recovers, man. I'm glad I snuck in early last night, brother. I didn't realize the interstate, the Pontiac Silverdome was in danger. Not the 90,000 plus on the inside. It's the 90,000 plus on the outside of the Silverdome. Those are the ones I'm worried about, because when I get my hands on that big nasty giant, when he faces the truth, when he feels the wrath of Hulkamania, the day the whole earth is going to shake, what are those 90,000 plus Hulkamaniacs on the outside going to think? I'm not worried about the people at the closed circuit. I'm not worried about the people all around the world. They'll see it. But the intensity of Hulkamania, the way it's turned this whole state upside down, the way the whole world turned upside down, what are they going to think when the giant hits the ground, he feels the wrath of Hulkamania, and the whole world shakes at my feet?
We could conceivably blow the roof off this great facility, the Silverdome. Right now, let's go back to the...
Over a week, I'll be heading to take over Portland to become your next NXT Women's Champion. But apparently, Rhea, she must have forgot about all that, because she done went to Raw and got all up in Charlotte's business. I'll tell you this right here, right now. I don't care about no queen, and I ain't here for no queen. What I want is for Rhea Ripley to come out here face to face with me. But...
for a purpose. All right. What's up, everybody? What's up, everybody listening? This is a late night, super late night edition of Wrestle Talk in the D with Martez and Dominic right here on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. Sorry about all that static with the audio. Dominic just let me know that it's kind of staticky. So everybody that's listening, I apologize about that, but it is what it is. I want to thank God for giving us another day to talk wrestling, giving us the ability to talk wrestling. So I wanted to do that as we always do. But this show is about talking. This show is about running our mouth. And the theme of this show is best talkers in wrestling history. Me and my man Dominic, we was at work the other day, and we always talk about the show and whatever. And out of nowhere, I don't know how it came up, Dominic, but we decided we wanted to talk about the best talkers in wrestling history. And man, instantly we both got excited about talking about who are the best talkers in wrestling history. So I'm going to shut up right now, and I'm going to let my man Dominic jump into the show. What's up again, Dominic? What up, brother?
Ding dong. Hello. What's going on?
Oh, man. Finally glad I made it home, man. Finally glad I made it to the radio desk so we could put together this show. Because it's been a long day, but I wasn't going to miss this show for nothing. Especially, I didn't want to miss out on you saying ding dong.
I mean, it's one of the catchiest phrases right now in wrestling. It's hot. Bayley, you got to give up to Bayley, man. She has reinvented herself. You know, man, I was just watching the Broken Skull podcast with her with Stone Cold. Yeah. You know, she's coming from the whole huggy, lovable girl now to the whole, you know, annoying ding dong heel, you know, that she can do. But let's get to it.
Let's jump right into it, man. I got several people, bro. I got several people who I think are some of the best trash talkers or best promo artists, best talkers in wrestling history. And promos is what gets me hooked. I mean, I like the wrestling matches, but I love a good promo. I love a good talker. And I'm going to just jump right into it. I mean, I don't have like a top 10 or a top 20. I'm just going to just shoot out names and whatever. So the first person I think of, you know, when I think about a talker, and I guess I'm going to take an easy route with this one, but the first wrestler I think about who the best talker of all time is, I think about none other than the Rattlesnake, Stone Cold Steve Austin. There was no other. There was Stone Cold for me in that era. If it wasn't for Stone Cold, I don't think everybody else would have elevated their game. I think Stone Cold would hit the way he cut promos, the way he talked trash. It really lit a fire in the boys in the back. Now, obviously, I wasn't there. Obviously, you wasn't there. But I really think Stone Cold really took it up a notch. You know, there was nobody like Stone Cold. Stone Cold talked trash. Stone Cold called you a SOB. Stone Cold would cuss you out. Stone Cold would really, really talk to you like you was a piece of crap. You know, every time I would see Stone Cold come out to the ring, I had to stop what I was doing. Stone Cold was must-see TV. And even still to this day, whenever they bring him back on Monday Night Raw, I have to stop what I'm doing because Stone Cold, he's a walking promo. So my first pick or my first selection, however we want to do this, it's none other than Stone Cold, Steve Austin, Dominic.
You want me to go with my pick or just compliment also Stone Cold?
Yeah, we can bounce off. We can do it that way. I know we didn't do a lot of prepping, but we could just bounce off. If you agree or disagree, we could just do that, and then you could do your pick.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, absolutely. You know, he's center stage. He's on the Mount Rushmore of promo/trash talking, you know. He's my Russian because Stone Cold kicked down the door. The Stone Cold Steve Austin gimmick, man. That gimmick. I mean, he did it. He at a time when you know the Attitude Era was merging, he made it feel like a real character, somebody in real life. Like, you know, I don't want to be stereotyped like somebody from the South or a redneck that just didn't care. You know,
yeah.
that F fear, drink beer, like the one of them slogans he said. And he wasn't scared to be uncensored, you know. He broke barriers, you know, with the language and, you know, and just the toughness. He wasn't corny. He was one of the first, when he came on as a heel, the Stone Cold Steve Austin, he really delivered with his, you know, his promos, the words he was saying. And, you know, he really derailed you what a heel really was supposed to do.
Absolutely.
You know, like when he was starting with Bret Hart, you know, just you sell it, you look, you know, he really, you know, he was breaking that barrier. Like I said, barrier calls. Oh, pink tights. What the hell's all that about, son? You know,
To cut you off, Dom, like, I'm gonna let you finish your diatribe. But like when he first went at Bret Hart, I'm like, what? You going after the Hitman Bret Hart, like one of the faces of WWF at the time?
Yeah.
Like, I love Bret Hart. That was one of my favorite people, and I was so surprised that he was going after one of my heroes like that. But he was getting the upper hand in a lot of the back and forth with Bret Hart as far as the promos. He was getting the upper hand. Yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, remember I said on the show last week with Alan and Jed, like, you know, Bret was, you know, the 90s hero, you know, but when, you know, then it's like, you know, at that time when, you, at a point in time of wrestling, you had to cheer if, you know, you had to cheer for the good guys and you had to boo the bad guys, you know, especially during, like you said, WWF. But, you know, Stone Cold, he just really, he didn't, his that character, it didn't seem like it came out of a comic book. You know, or like a fairy tale. It was straight, maybe some out of a Quentin Tarantino movie. But but yeah, he like how the way Stone Cold delivered, like his description, how the way he belowed you, his tone.
Yeah,
He really made you feel, you know, like he's, I'm going to stuff a mud hole in you. I'm, you know what? You're pathetic, you know. So, you know, he put fear.
Yep.
He put fear into, you know.
Fear.
And he made you, you know, and poke your chest out when he was delivering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was kind of promo.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's right there. I know we're not doing 1 through 10, but as far as if we say Mount Rushmore and not have a certain number, he's right there all the time. We ain't gonna spend too much time. We're gonna keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
Another person, we'll say Attitude Era. Another hands down was The Rock. The electrifying one, the people's champion.
Yep.
You know, The Rock, you know, as we know now, you know, The Rock was one of those, he was entertaining on the mic. When he had the microphone, you know, he could get an audience. Once again, his words, his charismatic, his persona that was larger than life, and how the way he at times can, his insult was very comedy, like how the way we say snapping, like, you know, we snapping on people.
Yep. Roasting.
Know, look
yeah.
at this.
Yeah.
You know, roasting, yes, yeah, roasting, yeah. You know, like, you know, what we did in the lunchrooms or in school, you know, Rudy Pool, you jabroni,
yep.
You know. He was another one, man. He was
mm-hmm.
another one right there. He had to, you know, of course, going against Austin, he had to be who can hang with Stone Cold.
Right.
Go ahead.
You know, and you know what? To piggyback on that, bro, you can't say Stone Cold without saying The Rock. You know, like you just can't. Like, well, you say every time I think about Stone Cold, I immediately think about The Rock because Rock was just that great on a mic. He was just as great
mm-hmm.
as Stone Cold was, and they complemented each other so well, man. You can ask for two more even rivals, you know. Far as on the mic, far as in the ring, you know, they worked well together. But one thing I liked about The Rock is that I remember he started off as Rocky Maivia, and that gimmick obviously
mm-hmm.
didn't work. You know, he was being booed.
Mm-hmm.
I remember watching him going up against Hunter Hearst Helmsley getting booed. And I don't know what changed or who decided to change his old gimmick, but putting him with the Nation of Domination was the best decision to ever happen to The Rock. You know, and at the time I didn't know The Rock had that much range. It's crazy. Just like with what's her name? Bayley. You know, I didn't know Bayley had this much range, but The Rock, like you were saying, he was charismatic. You know, he was entertaining. He'd make you look silly. Case in point,
mm-hmm.
Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho debut on Raw, you know, usually
mm-hmm.
when somebody debuts from another promotion, somebody big as Chris Jericho, he made Chris Jericho look silly. And The Rock did that to a number of gentlemen, made them look silly. Week after week, night after night, you know, and The Rock, he's another one that's on that Mount Rushmore, if there was a Mount Rushmore. You know, if you're trying to learn how to cut a promo, you definitely need to study up on The Rock, because The Rock was just cool, you know, and The Rock was supposed to be a
mm-hmm.
bad guy that you booed, a bad guy that you didn't like. But somewhere along the line, people started liking The Rock. You know, people started liking his swag. People started liking his promos and things of that nature. So, yeah, I agree with you. The Rock, without a shadow of a doubt, was one of the best talkers in the history of pro wrestling.
And I like you stole it, but the next
thing,
Chris Jericho.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah, I like that.
You like that, huh?
I like that. Yeah. And the next one, Chris Jericho. Jericho was once again another one. You know, he had another one. He came in, you know, WCW, came from WCW, and then at a time, you know, they didn't utilize him, and they missed out on a great, you know, fortune.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had something special. You know, remember towards his last days, you know, Jericho is one of those. He, the energy, another charismatic. The heel that really fed off the crowd energy that really, not just his opponent, but then he will go. He didn't care.
He didn't care.
He will. You know. He's another one. He was like, you know, fans boy. He's like, what are you born for? That soul.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
You know. He was one of the few that was not scared to interact with the crowd.
Yep.
And he has another one that was larger than life, man. The Island Solo, Rock and Roller. The Jericho Holic.
Yep.
You know, and you know, later on, man, Jericho was just, yeah,
look,
man, he was another one. And then
look at him now, man. I had no idea, like he was going to the big leagues when he left WCW and he went to WWF. There was no scrubs over there on the mic. Like, he went where the elite players are on the mic, and he definitely held his own. You know, I didn't know if he was going to – I'm surprised he made it that far, and I'm surprised that he became the Hall of Famer he became, you know, especially coming to WWF at that time where all those top guys were there, man. So I just wanted to drop that in there. I didn't mean to cut you off or nothing like that.
Oh, no, you're good. And Mr. Le Champion.
Le Champion.
Le Champion, man.
Yeah, a little bit of the bubbly, huh? But
I mean, yeah, he was creative, man. Another one. Hey, amen. Hey, so what's your next one, man?
Okay. Cool, man. I'm trying to get in the groove of things, man, because I'm like I said, I rushed here, so I'm trying to get in a groove. So my next one is and this might be my all-time favorite. I know I just waxed poetically about Stone Cold and The Rock. Well, this guy right here, because I stopped watching WWF in 2010 because I thought it was a garbage product. But this gentleman right here brought me back, and I haven't took a break since. I remember I was working at Imagine Theater, and there's another buddy of mine. He said, "Did you see Raw this past week?" And I said, I ain't watched wrestling in 9 months, man. I said, CM Punk, he's getting ready to quit WWE. And CM Punk, he told all the secrets of WWE. He went off on Vince McMahon. So my next guy is none other than CM Punk. CM Punk was the most outcoldest person on a mic. CM Punk, he told it like it was. Now, most of his stuff...
Straight edge.
Right? What I like about CM Punk, I always felt like everything he was saying was the truth. And that's how he really felt. Like, CM Punk had you believing that, hey, he really felt like Vince McMahon was stupid. CM Punk had you really believing that he really felt like Stephanie McMahon was basically lord over Triple H. CM Punk tore WWE into shreds with that pipe bomb. That pipe bomb really changed the whole landscape of wrestling, because I don't think, if it wasn't for that pipe bomb, I don't think WWE would be as popular as it is today. I know I sound crazy saying that, but CM Punk brought back some of the fans that left, because CM Punk was so real with his, you know, and a lot of CM Punk talking points when he was with WWE, he still talk about it today. The product is bad, you know, they don't care about the fans and stuff like that. The fans really appreciated that. And I appreciate it because it was things that we thought about. WWE is stale.
So
CM Punk, that's my guy. That's one of my top talkers of all time.
And real quick, I have to put in, you know, he was one of those wrestlers that, for a WWE talent, that just spoke up.
Yeah.
Man, he wanted to say, we didn't have the voice of the voiceless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was CM Punk, man. He really lied us on everything. CM Punk finally just said, enough was enough. I'm a speak for the people.
Right. Yep.
So,
yeah.
I got one. I got one. And I think, since you're talking about all time, we got to say, I think this one you can say, I'm gonna really hit you, man. Say the father, one of the fathers, or you can say the goats.
Mm-hmm.
When you put this man in this category of talking or trash talk promos categories, man, he's a living legend. He's an icon.
The Nature Boy.
Styling it, profiling, limousine riding, jet flying, female kissing, with a tear in his eye. He talks about none other than the Nature Boy, Ric Flair.
Oh, my God.
I mean, he was another one, man. He brought class. He brought, you know, he brought, he brought, he was one who was really, who kind of structure, before, kind of built the door, built the foundation before it, for as heel wise, like the I won't say the rock, not say the rock star, but that the pop life. Into wrestling, his going back looking at it, you know, the suits, you know, the lifestyle he was talking about, how the way he just was charismatic, man. He was like he had a whole the energy he brought, man. He just sometimes to the point as you see looking back, man, he was in a whole nother zone.
And Dominic, I never was a Ric Flair fan like everybody else is. I appreciate him more now than ever. Looking back at the his whole career and what he put out there, I appreciate him because of what he did for the wrestling business. And yes, I agree. He's a promo savant. He's a trash talking machine. You know, he really sold that gimmick. You know. Whenever you get a gimmick, you gotta sell it. You got like that's for anything. What we doing right now, Dominic? We're trying to sell a product. We're trying to sell Wrestle Talk in a D to the people. Like we're trying to sell that. We know there's other shows out there, but hey, you can come here and listen. We have something interesting. And Ric Flair, he put his heart and soul in those promos. Like. I'm surprised he didn't have a heart attack. You know, that's how much emotion.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. He went. He took it that far. Like he put his heart, soul. Like he to the point. Like he. It was like, is this man high on coke or what? At times, like he was in a whole nother galaxy. He was like Eminem song, "Lose Yourself." Flair was just losing stuff. He just got carried away. He was one of those, like, just one thing. If you said someone, if you just something about it, just Flair just will fast.
But bro, you just said something powerful. You just said something powerful. When you're doing these promos, you got to lose yourself. You got to cut off everything you know. You just got to go to that place. You got to go to that place where you don't know what's going on. You just flowing because you're not thinking about nobody. You're not thinking about this and that. Like he was really lost in that gimmick. And I remember watching a documentary. He really tried to become that gimmick, you know, to the point to where it kind of spilled over in his personal life. And I know we're not going to touch on that, but Ric Flair, he really sold that. And there wouldn't be a Rock without of Ric Flair. You know, Ric Flair was a prequel to The Rock. You know,
not just The Rock, man. I mean, Marty Scurll. I mean, just so many.
Yeah.
You know, I see kind of in a way. Well, I'm forgetting his name. Adam Cole with, you know, the format with the Four Horsemen.
Right.
With the Four Horsemen with the Undisputed Era. I mean, he's the father.
Absolutely.
He's one of the fathers. The like I said, the GOAT. You can say right there as well, back to where I started off, on top of Mount Rushmore.
Hey, absolutely. Dominic, you're listening to Wrestle Talk in the D with Martez and Dominic. We're going deep into the night. I don't know what time we're going to end. I guess whenever we get tired, but we definitely not going past 12:30 tonight. But we're talking about the best trash talkers, the best talkers in wrestling history. There's so many talkers. We brought up Stone Cold. We brought up The Rock. We brought up Ric Flair. Chris Jericho, CM Punk so far. But we do have a phone call on the call list, Dominic. Are you ready to go to the phone call, or you want to keep chattering and take a phone call later?
Let's see who's the caller is. Caller.
All right, caller, you're on the air. Thank you for calling Russell Talking to D. Who's this?
I was reading Twitter tweets, and I see a tweet that say, "Good morning, world. I'm happy as a clam." Does this mean you are suffering suicide feelings?
We can't hear you. Hey, speak up. We can't hear you.
A clam is not happy. A clam is having major depression issues. Seasonal affect disorder, except the season is every day. You're inside a shell that is sticking inside of the ocean, which stink like...
Okay, I had to...
I don't know what's that all about.
I'm not trying to be funny, but please don't call this line playing around or... Seriously, like, we're trying to have a productive show. We're trying to have a show about wrestling, the best wrestling talkers. For some reason, we get these callers, man. This don't happen on no other show, but we get these callers, borderline weird. Now, I know he was talking about suicide and stuff like that, but this not the show for that. Anyway, this is crazy, dog. All right, we're moving right along. My next guy, if you wanted somebody to hype up a event, if you needed somebody to make your event something big, this is the guy I would go to. The next guy is Triple H. Triple H is highly underrated, in my opinion, in cutting promos. Like, Triple H, like, if you need a good promo, you need to call Triple H. Like, right now, this Goldberg and Drew McIntyre matchup, it's not really moving the needle right now. But if you call Triple H to hype up this matchup with Drew McIntyre and Goldberg, Triple H will get you invested in this matchup. Triple H will have you invested because Triple H, he's another one that put his heart and soul in promos. Like, Triple H, he believes in making you believe what he's saying, whether he's a face or a heel. So my guy is Triple H. He's my next best talker in wrestling history.
Oh, man. I give it to you, man. This is my opinion, man. Triple H is one of those. He was just one of those old-fashioned. It depends on certain eras of his career. It's like, at one point, he was just old-fashioned, tell you what he was going to do, and he was going to execute it. When he got with Shawn to form DX, then he got more entertaining. He kind of loosened up.
Yep.
Started having fun, you know, and he was like another roaster. Then, like, when after, you know, Shawn left, he still kind of, you know, and X-Pac and Billy and Road Dogg, you know, he was still kind of, you know, having fun. But then it seemed like he kicked it up to a whole nother lot. He went back and got what we call the Cerebral Assassin, the Kings of All Kings, when he joined the corporate.
Right.
You know, then that's when he got more just straight to the business, ruthless, assassin. You know, he like I said, he really went back to just putting the vice grip, a vice grip that just, you know, squeezing and won't let go. Like I said, to wrap it up with Triple H, like I said, he talks a good game. You know, he's just one of those that, you know, at times he doesn't really wow me. He didn't really wow me or, you know, always had me excited, but I got where he was coming from. You know, he talked, you know, and pretty much, you know, got, like I said, got straight to the point, and he didn't, wasn't fancy. He wasn't friendly. That's a plus where he wasn't friendly at a point when he wasn't with DX, with Fort, if it was Evolution, or like I said, with the McMahon corporate era, he was another one that was unapologetic. So when he delivered, and
yeah,
then he laid it down, and that was it.
Yep. True. So, true. And I think let me just get this in there real quick. I think Triple H was the ultimate overachiever. Nobody in their right mind, at least I thought Triple H will be where he is today. Nobody in their right mind thought Triple H would have been a main event star. You know, a lot of people still don't value Triple H as one of the greatest of all time. But in my opinion, Triple H is the ultimate overachiever. I never thought he would be here. So, and that's why I got a super love for Triple H, because he overachieved. He wasn't flashy like Michaels. He wasn't flashy like The Rock. You know, he wasn't polarizing like Stone Cold Steve Austin. He wasn't like The Undertaker. But Triple H, he overachieved. He maximized on his capabilities. So that's why I really love Triple H, and I love his promos.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm flat,
man.
I'm flat right now, and I'm sorry, Dominic. I'm flat.
You what?
I'm flat right now. I'm sorry.
I think we both are a little bit, but I'm gonna throw it back, man. And this one, that's one I'm gonna bring up, man. We're gonna go into the managers, man. Mm-hmm. And this person is, you know, when we say promos and mic skills, you know, and as a manager, you know, this person, he's another one on the Mount Rushmore who, for us in wrestling, you know, if you didn't have the at times the mic skills, but the look and the persona, or may not have the look or the persona, but if he sees something in you, he will always talk for you. He always defended his clients. He always you know, he was another one. He had a mouth. He was a good on a comedic level. He was a good roaster. He was a good hype man. He was a good like in boxing, a promoter. And he was a good manager and a thinker, and he was a good fall guy. And I'm talking about none other than Bobby the Brain Heaton. So what's your thoughts?
What's my thoughts about the Heenan? Man, I miss Heenan. Heenan was the type of cat that you want to strangle if you was a face. Like, Heenan would really get up under your skin. You know, like, Heenan was one of those cats that would, like, talk about you behind your back. I mean, behind, like, somebody like Andre's back. You know, he'd be talking about you, but standing behind Andre's back. Like, we need more Bobby Heenans today. Bobby Heenan was absolutely, and I hate using this term, but Bobby Heenan was the GOAT. You know, if you were a babyface lover, he could seriously piss you off, because he would say some things that would really have you mad at him, because he's talking about your beloved hero, i.e. Hulk Hogan, you know, i.e. Sting or whoever, or i.e. A Macho Man Randy Savage. Like, Bobby Heenan, he was a weasel. You know, I don't know if I was
right.
Like, yeah, he was a great talker. And I remember they was comparing Corey Graves to him. Like, please don't do that no more, because Corey Graves is not, no disrespect to Corey, but Corey Graves is not Bobby Heenan like. You know, in my opinion, Corey Graves has took a step back, but that's a whole nother conversation for another day. But yes, Bobby Heenan is an absolute best at talking and getting you frustrated?
Well, that's another one. I can see the comparison, like what Corey Graves, what my plus is, and I'm going to be positive.
No.
By the way, Bobby Heaton, in a way, like I said, he talks. He represented his clients. The people he manages, it's like Forrest the heel, he always talks for his wrestlers as if, in a way, they was the face. And, as if they don't do no wrong.
Right.
And man, if he wasn't a manager, he could have been a good defense lawyer.
Exactly.
Glorified. He put, if a person, you know, wrestler he was managing, you know, wasn't in probably the race for a title or team or whatnot, he put them on a pedestal so high, it's like, man. To the point, it's like, I think you need to give Andre the belt or Hercules the belt or, you know, the Hart Foundation.
Yep.
He did a real good job, man.
He did. Bobby Heenan was a crazy dude, dog. He was a crazy dude. He did, man. Oh, man. All right. I'm trying to.
So I'm gonna do two in a row, and then I'm gonna switch it up to you, man.
Okay.
Since I went old school, I gotta keep in mind.
I need her in my life. I'm sorry, but keep going.
I went old school. We gotta keep in mind her day, and some of those words, some of that. I don't know if y'all out there thought I was talking about somebody else, in a way. Like I said, he's a good manipulator.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good liar. He know how to get the best out of people. He know how to promote. And I'm talking about none other than Paul Heyman.
Oh, I'm mad at you, man. You had to pick Paul Heyman before me. Gosh. But yeah, go ahead, bro.
No, go ahead. I mean, like I said, Paul knows how to, was another one who knows how to promote.
Yep.
He knew how to, you know, be deceitious.
Exactly.
And kind of manipulate you.
Yeah.
You know, the face in a way of, you know, talking for whoever he was representing it. Or
right.
to, and as well, he was another one, up notch of Bobby Bray Heaton that really forced the heel as a manager or a promoter, especially in the time with Brock, that delivered
right.
prize fighting.
Right.
Must see, you know, talent.
And
how the way he, you know, he talked charismatically and brutalizing, you know, the faces. He's one of those that, you know, when his clients win, man, that next day, that I told you so, that heavy squeaky voice of his just.
Right.
Man.
Yep.
I'm a
yep. And before I finish off this Paul Heyman selection, Jamie, he said Bobby Heenan was a wrestler as well. I think Jamie, he's listening, so I wanted to put that out there to you, Dominic. He said he was a great wrestler as well. I didn't know Bobby Heenan was a wrestler, but that makes sense. You know, most managers did wrestle.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a lot of managers were, you know, wrestlers, or, you know, quite a few was wrestlers that probably had career-ending, you know, injuries to the point they went to manager duties.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, Paul Heyman was another one, man. He's still going at it, man.
He is. And Jamie, I was gonna pick him next, actually. But I'm not gonna say it right now. But Jamie, I'm actually gonna pick him next. But yeah, Paul Heyman, like when he was with ECW, even when he came over to WWF earlier on, you know, he was more annoying than anything to me. And he was that weasel. He was that liar. But over the last 10 years, man, he really cemented his legacy in wrestling history. And he really cemented his legacy within my way of thinking of Paul Heyman, because I had no clue he was that phenomenal at cutting the promos. He was that phenomenal at building up a matchup. You know, he's the great hype man. He's the great hype man. And and it's all about who he's paired up with. He was a great compliment to Brock Lesnar, a guy that doesn't speak very much, you know. So I feel like Paul Heyman really cemented his legacy the last 10 years. And for that, I think Paul Heyman, and this may sound crazy, but I think he's the best manager of all time. You know, just because what he does for his clients. You know, look at what he's doing right now with some of the talent on WWE, the way he's pouring into them, the way he's really motivating them. Look, if you go back and listen to Talking Smack, go listen to what he said to Bianca Belair. Go listen to what he said to Big E Langston. Go listen to what he said to Apollo Crews. He has a way to motivate you to get the best out of you. And that's one of the things I like about Paul Heyman. You know, he really will big you up. You know, if he believes in you, he will big you up. So that's my little soliloquy on Paul Heyman as I continue to be flat. But this next person, I don't even need to say his name. I'm just going to play a clip. This is my man right here. Check it out.
He put hard times on Dusty Rhodes and his family. You don't know what hard times are, Daddy. Hard times are when the textile workers around this country are out of work. They got 4 or 5 kids and can't pay their wages, can't buy their food. Hard times are when the auto workers are out of work and they tell them go home. And hard times are when a man has worked at a job 30 years.
Man.
30 years. They
Come
give
on,
him a watch, kick him in the butt, and say, hey, a computer took your place, Daddy. That's hard times.
Bro, what I like about him, he was so real with his. And that really resonates with a lot of us, especially if we working and we working blue collar jobs. You know, that promo right there really won me over for him, because me and you was just talking the other day, I want to tell our business, but, you know, people don't know where we work at, but sometimes you're not getting paid what you worth, you know. And, it's, and people don't know what you're going home to. People don't know what you're going through financially. So for him to do that promo really told me that he was a real brother, that he got it, that he got life, you know. And that's one thing about Dusty Rhodes. Whenever he cut a promo, you know, you felt like it was authentic. You felt like it was real. And it almost felt like he was speaking to you. He was speaking to your situation. And it almost felt like he was preaching to you, like he had the spirit of God on him. Because whenever I listen to Dusty Rhodes and his promos, I get chills. I feel like I'm in church. I feel like I'm feeling the Holy Spirit, man. And I kid you not, whenever I'm down, I go back and listen to this Hard Times promo, because it's so rich and so real. And that's why Dusty Rhodes, he's so revered amongst a lot of people, because he gave it to you real. And that's what we're missing today. We're missing real, authentic promos. Even though these promos can be scripted, they can be real scripted. They can be authentic. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? They can be scripted, but there can be a level of authenticity with it. And today, it's not that at all. You know, so that's what I revere about Dusty Rhodes. I have another selection, but I'm gonna let you chime in on Dusty real quick.
Well, let me tell you something, Daddy. You got to roll up your sleeve and get dirty. And we're going to style and we're going to profile. And, whoo!
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a ball.
Right.
That was Dustin,
right.
Man. He was one of those for the face, man. He was like I say, he wasn't none like his. He was for the people that deliver promos.
Yep.
He was the down to earth blue collar, have a good time, styling and profiling. Like a he was the kryptonite
to
Ric Flair.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
To say it.
Yep. Yep.
With his profiles. So
yep.
You know.
Is
all me now?
No, I want to do two in a row if you don't mind. I know you the boss, but I want to do. Can I do two in a row, boss?
Oh yeah, I think it's three in a row.
No, it's not three in a row because you said Paul Heyman, and then I piggybacked on you. I piggybacked on that, and then I went straight into my selection.
I thought you did another manager. Okay, two in a row.
No.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Yeah.
Now, Dominic, you put me up on this person a couple years ago. They wasn't on my radar. I didn't care about them. I didn't even care for the show that they were on. But this person right here, I feel like for the first time ever, a female could be the face of your promotion. And I'm not into this whole women versus men. I'm not saying this to appease females. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it because I'm keeping it real right now. Bianca Belair, folks.
Ooh.
She is a walking promo. She is
Ooh.
A walking promo.
The EST.
Come on, man. I'm alive now. All it takes is a little Bianca Belair, and I'm alive, man. I'm alive.
We cooking with chicken grease now.
Let me go get that Frank's hot sauce for you, boy. For you. But Bianca Belair, she really sold me with that when she was interjected with Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley. She actually stole that whole feud, Bianca Belair. When she told Charlotte Flair, you don't even go here. Like,
yeah,
what?
Right.
That's the ultimate ratchet black girl talk, man. You know, and that's something
right.
that we've never seen, I don't think. Sasha Banks, she had a chance to be that, but she don't want to go deep into the wretchedness. But Bianca Belair.
I mean, she's real quick, not to cut you off. Like, Sasha's too cute. Naomi, you know, good that she doesn't, you know, because she'll be a one that everybody thinks she'll be, you know, just by.
I get what you're saying.
Got to her.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
But Bianca, man, it's like. She like the girl around the way that kept up with, you know, that she put me in the mind of. Like, she's so real. It's that's really her. I was looking at her Chronicle documentary today, and you know, and it's that's really her promos, her attitude, how the way she delivered. It's really her. From the heart.
Yep.
That's another just true, genuine, just, you know, unrehearsed, really just keeping it real. You know, black girl superhero above the wall. EFC.
Come on, man.
So
I don't know if you're going to be available tomorrow. I think you is, but we're going to have a few other guests on the show tomorrow, but we're going to go deep into Bianca Belair tomorrow because they need to go all in on her for the WrestleMania. She needs to be in that spot, in my opinion, because she can be what Hulk Hogan was to WWF in the late 80s, early 90s. She can be what Austin was for the WWE in the late 90s. She could be what John Cena was to the WWE in the 2000s. She has that star power. She has that marketable look, that marketable persona. Like, and I'm not exaggerating when I say this. She can truly be the face of WWE.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. That's my pick. It's another day, another show. But I've been talking about Bianca Belair's for like 2 years since. I know I've been on and off. When I got back, I had fell off with NXT watching them. When I really got sneaked in and was watching and keeping up with them, when I seen her since the Mae Young Classic, just the look, the background, and just the style for females, man, even though I'm a male, that support females, and, you know, I root for the females, right? She's a female powerhouse.
Yep.
Man.
Yep.
Powerhouse, man. Man, it's another topic, man. I can go all night, but
hey, Jamie, you loving this Bianca Belair talk. Appreciate you for listening, man. Yeah. I hope we can dive into more Bianca Belair tomorrow. Like, we also want to get into the Royal Rumble, and who's going to win. But I think Bianca Belair, she deserves another, she deserves the show we just talk about for real. This particular show, we can do this on a weekly basis, who the best talkers are, of all time. We have to squeeze all this in tonight. But I'm gonna let you continue on, and then I have a few more before we close tonight.
Hey, Marquez, you kind of static, man.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you was kind of static on the line.
Okay. I was saying that we could definitely talk about Bianca Belair tomorrow or a different show. And we could definitely do, like, this show right here, we can do this on a weekly basis because there's so many people that were good on the mic. But I got a couple more. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to let you take the wheel now.
Okay. Okay. You want to keep it female?
Let's keep it female.
Man. Female, man, a good female promo cutter.
What are you thinking about? One, two, or you want me to jump? Because I got one right off the bat. I don't want to overtake your spot. So I'm gonna wait for you.
I feel like draft night. The clock is ticking. Should I trade? Should I move back?
I don't know. It's tough decisions. This can up your franchise is on the line, man. Like,
We'll go name out some, and I'm gonna say which one you will take.
Okay.
We can put in this.
That sounds like fun. Charlotte?
Yeah, Charlotte Flair.
I think she's good at promos. You know, she's not bad at all. She's not must see TV. She's not a must-see TV talker, but when she does talk, I do listen. If you get that, so I would say Charlotte Flair. She's a good talker. She's not one of the best, but she's a good talker. She's more she's more good, better in the ring than she is on a mic, and that's not, I mean, that's not a bad thing to be. You know what I mean? Like, that's not a bad thing to be. But I would say Charlotte Flair, yes, she's a good talker. So I would slightly put her in that category as one of the best talkers. You know,
I would say, well, I mean, even with Bianca Belair, we can't say yet. They're still, we'll say they on the rise.
Okay.
They're getting up there. We can't put them already on Mount Rushmore or put them.
Really?
Put them. I mean, it's too early. I love both.
Brother, I love you, man, but what more do we need to see from Belair, though? Like,
I mean, just years. keep it going.
Okay.
Keep it going. I mean, with females are just heating up, man. All of them.
Okay.
Like, Bayley stepped up her game with the
big
ding dong. You know, Sasha,
I love
been,
that. Yeah.
Sasha been kind of the blaze runner.
Mm-hmm.
She was the one, like I said, the cute but, you know, feisty, you know, the feisty cute girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of annoying you or thought she was better mm-hmm. than everybody, and you know that on, you know, need to be on
Silicon Valley. She lives
yeah,
in Silicon Valley.
Silicon Valley, yeah, type of attitude.
Yeah.
Correct. Becky.
Yeah.
Oh man, you yeah.
Yeah, I'm nutting up.
Yeah, Becky is. You're not your typical female talker. She's kind of your tomboy, like she said, Lamont.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she is, you know, not your mom, feminine masculine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, her accent and her tone. She's another one. She's not pretty with it. She's not glory with it, but she's just a hardcore female that gets straight to the point, and you know, and she's another, like, you know, diamond in the rough for the females. Naomi, okay, Carmella, it's okay. Alexa Bliss, she's entertaining. She's not charismatic to me. She's not.
Mm.
She's a good talker, but she's Alexa Bliss right now. I mean, but I'm not trying to throw shades at her. I'm loving the new gimmick. I'm loving, you know, not to go off the bandwagon. She's, if all said and done, like, Alexa Bliss remind me of a talk show host. And that's why I like the playground segment she got, because she's real. She got that talk show radio personality vibe.
Right.
You
right,
know,
right. Yeah.
Persona about her. But it's one female now, and we can,
uh-huh.
and now not to waste time, that it is, this is a home run. I ain't gonna say it's a heavy hitter. We ain't gonna say home run. It's a heavy hitter, and this is comes out the Samoan dynasty. We talked about her relative earlier as one on Mount Rushmore, The Rock.
Yeah,
and we talk about none other than Nia Jax.
Hello.
Nia
what
Jax.
Made you, what made you say Nia Jax? Because I agree with you 100% on that.
Okay. Now, she's one that's like another one is like a sleeping trailblazer, a man, she's fearless. She's another cutthroat. From her cousin Rock, kind of, you know, in a female way. She's a sassy.
Yeah.
She's like the Megan Stallion song, classy. She can get classy, savage, groovy, ratchet. She's another one. She's a total package,
bro.
Besides the issues here with her being unsafe in the ring, but when she's cutting mic skills, she know how to be multitasked. She could be, like I said, she could be classy 1 minute, and then next minute she could be, she can cut you off, and she's another one, she can roast or slash this, not just female, even man. She's one of the few that throws shade at the man reporters or backstage or referees and belittle them. She's the big girl,
right? And that's what I like about
her.
You got to. And Nia Jax, like, she's must see TV, must see here. Because every time, like, I enjoy her backstage conversations with some of the female reporters, because, like, I didn't hear her just destroy them on the mic, did you really mean that? Yeah. And she just don't get enough credit.
Like, she'd be like, get away, little man.
like she owns it, man. She owns it, and she's one of my favorites, man. I gotta give it to her. She's absolutely one of my favorites, and it's like she's getting better. Like she's stepping into her own right now. When it comes to being comfortable talking on a mic, being comfortable saying whatever she wants to say. And what I like about her, she's embracing the hate. She know what people are saying out there. She know what people are saying. She can't wrestle. She's not careful. You know, she botches all her matches. She's a plus size. She hears all that. What I like about her, and she's doing the right thing. She's using that to her advantage. Hey, if y'all go hate me, you know what? I'm going to soak it up. I'm going to make you hate me even more. You know, and how can you not love her? Because she's owning it. You know, and so that's why I got excited when you brought her up. Like, Nia Jax is simply funny. And to go back to Becky Lynch, man, Becky Lynch is a beast on a mic, a straight-up beast. She's a straight-up savant. Now, the last 4 months of her run, it kind of got stale. Because she got a little commercial, you know, she lost a little of that authenticity that she had in the beginning. But to judge her whole package, her whole body of work, Becky Lynch, she's just a flat out home run hitter on the mic. I remember she made Edge look silly. I remember she made Charlotte Flair look silly a number of times, you know, on the mic. She made a lot of people look silly on the mic. When she turned heel, well, it was supposed to be heel, but when she first made her little turn, so Becky Lynch for sure she's one of the best.
Yep. I mean, she's like, in a reference with Becky Lynch, she's like, she just stands her ground.
Right. Yeah.
And
yep.
She stands her ground. She's another one. She's
Yeah. I got one more, man, I got one more, and I don't know how many more you got, but I feel like this is a good episode. Yeah, I started off flat. I can't speak for you. I feel like you started off good. But we haven't done a show together in ages, but you know, if we keep doing this week by week, you know, we'll get back to that groove that we once had before. But this is a sleeper. He's not with the company anymore. But my name is Enzo Amore. and I'm a certified G and a bona fide stud, and you can't teach that. Enzo Amore. Oh, come on, my God. Enzo Amore. Listen, they need Enzo Amore right now. Like, forget what y'all thought, you know. They threw the trial out. Like, they found out the girl wasn't telling the truth. Like, that he didn't do whatever they thought he did. But I think he was a cancer backstage, too. But I don't care. Bring him back, because Enzo Amore, he was another one that I just stopped what I was doing because I wanted to hear what he was going to say. Like, he was different, man. He was different. He wasn't like nobody else, man. And that's what I like about people when they're doing promos. Be different. Like, make your own avenue. And Enzo Amore, like, he was doing things on a mic that I've never heard before. You know, his gimmick was A1. You know, he was doing things with his gimmick that I never seen before. You know?
I don't need to cut you out. Are you finished?
I'm done. I usually can't talk longer than 30 seconds anyway. You know? but go ahead.
Well, few things. Where to stop? Enzo comes out the class that does, you know, God bless the dead, Dusty Rhodes, the NXT class of talent as far as, you know, talent and what we're talking about, speaking and mic skills with Bailey, Sasha, Dean, I think Big Cass, no longer, you know, with the company. And
right.
I forgot more, but that last great talent of pool before he passed away.
Wow.
What I will say is, I have seen it. What was made it so special? He, which I will add, I'm not gonna jump the gun. I'm gonna go add. Well, I'm gonna say it, and then I'm gonna get to him after I finish it off. He brought a rebirth of that microphone talk, hype man talking, you know, electrified talking. I won't say electric, considered, I mean, it was electrifying, but hype man talking like if it was a concert, rap concert. I thought it was like paying homage to Road Dogg.
Ooh,
with the
good
new
one, Dominic. Good one, bro.
You know that. You know how the way Road Dogg, man, that was, man, and that was another one when he formed New Age Outlaws with Billy Gunn. That was another part of the time during the Attitude Era that, you know, you had to stop when you heard that. Didn't know.
Right.
And at a point, you know, at a point with 2000 and with back to Enzo, at a point when, you know, when I think WWE, the main roster, was kind of striking gold or had something going with the NXT call-off.
It's all good. Yeah.
Him and Big Cass, it's like that the whole, you know, that speech promo, you know, bada bing, bada boom, real cheese in the room.
How you doing?
It was how you doing?
Right. but what I, you know, how you doing? What I like about you, because you add a different, right. I'm going off the rails right now, man. What I like about you, I've always liked about you, and we talk about this at work too. You have a different, you add a different layer to these shows because you come with a lot of information. You know what I mean? That I don't, I'll never be that guy. I'll never be that guy. You know, I'm not going digging. I'm not going to dig too much. But I'm glad you're here because you go and dig, man. And I didn't know a lot of that stuff about Enzo Amore.
I mean, we not to cut you off, but it's to give you praise too, man. It's like we feed off each other, man. We, you know, we like I said, we trying to get better. We trying to someone be a household name, man. Try to see if we can take this to the next level platform. So
yep.
You know, we kind of like amateurs. That's each show we try to get better, man. We try to do our homework. We try
yep.
to, you know, come with facts, learn history,
mm-hmm.
you know, watch, you know, go back and watch shows, learn, you
yep.
know, learn, get the inside scoop, man. We always, when we at work, hypothetically talking or we always talking about the ins and outs. And we always, you know, we put each other up on certain things that we when we need each other, we go and you know, like I said, we follow up and then when we come back together or do the show, we come with our homework.
That's real talk, man. You work Sunday,
right.
man?
Yeah.
Dang, man. So you ain't go. I might just bring my laptop down there and just we can watch the Royal Rumble down there because I work Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, I agree with what you said, man. You know, and it especially, man, I'm not going to be too hard on us because we ain't did a show together since last year, you know, and before we did that show, it was a long time because of our work schedules that we didn't do a show. But we got something good going on here. We've been had something good, you know, and we're going to continue to do this. Hopefully we can keep going with this show because there's so many other great talkers. And I didn't even mention my man, The Miz, who I want to mention next week if we do this. That's my little precursor to next week, The Miz. I think we did our job for tonight. Don't want to carry on too much. We got a lot of shows tomorrow. We got the Take It Easy Sports Show at 4:00. We got My Two Cents on Wrestling at 6:00. And we got Russell Talking to D. That comes on at 6:00 too. So in a weird way, I'm going up against Jed, but we all on the same team. But
it's a tag match. Alan
right.
Jed versus Diamond Marquez.
Right. Well, it's nice to have a little bit of competitive heat going on. But like I made a mistake. Like I scheduled Russell Talking to D for 6:00 too. So I can't go back on that. So both shows will be on at the same time, and then we have the Man Hour Sports Show, which comes on at 9:00. So it's a lot of shows tomorrow. But thank you for listening. Thank you for all the callers that didn't call in tonight, but the ones that always call. And thank you for the people on Facebook, Instagram, that like everything that we do. So, yeah, this was a solid show, man. You got any final thoughts, Dominic, before we put this baby to bed?
Yeah, I mean, it was a good show, man. We're going to leave it off with The Miz next week. Or next time we pick up this segment for our show, our platform. I'm ready for tomorrow, man. We can do a best of both worlds. My Two Cents and Russell Talking to D merge in one.
I'm down with that. I know they're gonna be talking about the Royal Rumble and we wanna talk about the Royal Rumble, so why not? Why not do that? Antoine Davenport, he's going to be joining us. He wants to. He got something to say about Charlotte Flair. What I don't know, but he said people need to hear what he has to say about Charlotte Flair. So he's going to be calling in.
Ooh,
yeah. And
I think I know what he may be talking about. It's my concern about. I was talking to my aunt about my right now. I have my issues with Charlotte Flair. I'm having what WWE is I'm concerned about, but another a topic for another day.
Ooh, I can't wait to hear that. Plus, we're gonna have Miranda Morales. She's gonna come back on for the second time. She's gonna spend about 20 minutes with us. We're gonna catch up with her and see how's things been going on with the Lucha Central podcast. She's part of a lot of things. She's a ring announcer. She's a reporter. She's a journalist. She's a podcaster. She does it all, and she's really deep into the lucha scene. So we're gonna be talking to her for about a good 20 minutes, and we're just gonna shoot. It's not a work on Russell talking to D. It's straight up shoots. All right. So for Martez, for Dominic, everybody that's listening, we want to thank you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 o'clock, and keep it locked. This is Russell talking to D. Have a good night, folks. No intro necessary. I'm not playing an intro. We out. All right. Have a good night, Dominic.
You too.
All right, brother.